Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Verna Thomas Milton, and good evening. Welcome to the Metroplex Buzz. Today is Thursday, August the 17th, 2023, and thank you so much for tuning in. Tonight, we have two guests who are among the busiest and most popular people in Dallas County. First, we're going to speak with a junior, the Grand Prairie Councilman at Large, Junior Isona. A Grand Prairie City Council member representing the entire city of Grand Prairie as an at-large member. And in the second half of the show, we will speak to the one and only Mr. Michael Caldwell, owner and proprietor of Michael's of Las Colinas, and many more I think that he will talk to us about tonight. But first, we want to bring on a councilman. And I know he's on the line, so let me make sure this. We have had some problems, difficulty here with Spectrum on my side of town. And there you go. I'm hoping that everything is okay and you always can hear me okay. But, Councilman, do we have you online? I see your number here. Hello? Councilman Izuno. Okay.
Can you hear me, ma'am? I'm here.
Okay, I hear you now. Okay, now what is your last four numbers?
8690.
Okay, 8690. You have to push that one button. I didn't see you. You hadn't pushed the one.
Oh, I had. I guess it went away. I'll do it again. Let me do it again.
Okay. Okay, well, at least we have you on. That's okay. We do have you on, so I'm glad that you're here.
I'm glad
Are
to
you
be
still
here.
There?
Thank you for having me. Yes, ma'am.
Thank
can you
for,
hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can. Okay, Councilman, let me ask you something. I want you to tell us a little bit about who you are. I read a lot about you. I also met you before at the Texas Trust. And you probably don't remember me. I was with Michelle Badillo with UTA and Rodney Baker. So they introduced me to you as the youngest council person that Grand Prairie have. So tell us a little bit about who you are and how you made it this. I know I can tell the audience about it, but I want you to tell people about how you be that, I think you won over a person who had been there for 12 years.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit?
Definitely, yeah. Thank you for first having me. It's an honor to be here. And, yeah, I do remember meeting you at Texas Trust sometime last year, I do recall. So
right.
It was good to see you. And I'm just grateful to be here. My name is Junior Izanu. I serve on the Grand Prairie City Council as an at-large member. I was elected in June of 2021, so a little over 2 years ago, at the age of 22 years old. becoming the youngest person to ever serve on the Grand Prairie City Council, as well as the first African-American elected since the early 1990s in the city. I ran for council. I began running during the last semester of my collegiate career. So I was studying political science at UT Arlington, began running to be able to serve my community and give back to the community that's poured so much into me and allowed me to get to where I am today. And my service on the council, I look at it as just a way to give back to others and to try to improve the lives of other people and to give a voice to those that don't have one while remembering those that do and bringing everybody to the table and giving everybody a seat at the table. And that's what I try to do in my service and creating programs that give people an opportunity to not only survive in our city, in our DFW Metroplex, but also to thrive and to succeed and to get somewhere.
Okay. Now, since you was elected, haven't there been another person, an African-American who has been elected there as well?
Yes, ma'am. We have done a really good job in providing more diversity to our city council. So the same summer that I was elected, another African-American was elected. We got elected on the same day. Her name is Kurt Johnson. The following year, we elected our first ever African-American female by the name of Jacqueline Hedden. And this this past June, we elected our second African-American female ever. And her name is Bessie Adams. She's an at-large member as well. So we now have four African-Americans on the council. And just 2 years ago, we did not have one.
So look what you done. You brought a whole, you made history there in Grand Prairie.
The city's making history.
Yes, it is. What is the makeup of, do you know the ethnic makeup of Grand Prairie right as of today?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean,
yes, ma'am. The ethnic makeup is about 40%, 40 to 45% Hispanic. Actually, it's a plurality Hispanic city. It's about 23% African-American, about 25% white, Caucasian, and then about 8% Asian. That's the broad makeup of the city, a city of 200,000 people, so a very large suburban city here in the DFW area, and it's a minority-majority city.
Well, I know you all have a lot of good things going on over there. I was talking to a person, and they were telling me that you all have a new park coming, some type of venue park that's coming up. I know you have the horse race track there. And you have Texas Trust, one of the owners, the biggest entertainment spectacular place that's there. But you have some more that's coming up. Tell us about those as well.
Yeah, currently we're having a lot of development along our 161 corridor, our President George Bush Turnpike 161 corridor in our Epic Central area. We have a lot of restaurants that are coming. We just opened up the Finch, which is a very nice fine dining restaurant that opened up a few months ago. Prior to that, we opened up Loop 9 Barbecue and Vidora, which is a very popular Mexican restaurant in Dallas and Addison, is opening up in Grand Prairie within the next month and a half, God willing. Alongside all these restaurants, we have a lot of retail coming as well as entertainment venues. For example, we have Andretti's, which is an indoor race karting and kind of like arcade type place. It's very popular in the colony, in the Grandscape Entertainment District in the colony. We have Bass Pro Shops coming. We have Big Shots, which is a different version of Topgolf, coming to the city in the next year or so. So a lot of stuff coming along that 161 corridor. Along our I-30 corridor, we're working to bring more entertainment and more venues there for our residents that live north of 30 and in the northern Grand Prairie area, as well as on our I-20 corridor, bringing more restaurants, more retail there. So the city's expanding. We're growing both the population, but also in amenities for our residents that live here and people that live in other cities that want to come and spend their tax dollars here in Grand Prairie.
My goodness. It's growing. And I know that you all have a lot of good entertainment. It comes there in that area. A lot of the it's more popular for entertainment venues and things like that. I mean, venues, I mean, that whole big entertainment, spectacular programs, or maybe concerts and plays and things of that nature. So I'm glad to hear that. In studying who you were, I mean, who you are, rather, and with some of the people that I talk with, we were talking about how you are so rounded because of your involvement, not only with Grand Prairie, but the students within the Dallas-Fort Worth area, how you had worked in Oak Cliff, Highland Park, Pleasant Grove communities, and how you actually been around so many attitudes and personalities, and so you bring a rounded, I guess, communication with so many people, and to be able to work with who you're working with today on the city council person and the department heads, that they all care so much, because you have been there. I guess you have you've been involved so much. So tell us a little bit about, I know you went, where you went to school. I know you say you went to school at UT Arlington, but did you go to school here as well?
Yes, ma'am. I'm a child of the DFW. I'm a son of the DFW. I went to a lot of school. My primary education occurred in Arlington ISD. So I live on the part of Grand Prairie that's in Tarrant County. So those of us that live in Tarrant County are pretty much sectioned off to either go to Arlington ISD or Mansfield ISD. So I went to Bryan Elementary School, Barnett Junior High, and then Bowie High School. That's where I graduated back in 2017. Post-graduation, during my collegiate career, I served, as you said, as a substitute teacher and a tutor throughout the DFW area, working in South Dallas and Oak Cliff and Pleasant Grove, working in Fort Worth on Lancaster Avenue, which has a very large underserved community over there, working in Mansfield ISD amongst various different children that came from different socioeconomic classes. And the opportunity to work in these environments, working with the educators and with the students, provided me, a young man that started that when I was 19, 20 years old, a different perspective as to how people operate and what leads people to their different situations and circumstances. Because at the schools in Oak Cliff and Pleasant Grove, I served at the Texan Can Academies, which were essentially second chance or last chance schools for troubled youth. And I would always tell people, there's no such thing as a bad kid or a bad child. It's just a lot of people that grew up in tough circumstances and grew up in very difficult environments that are working to improve and better their lives. And in those classrooms, you see brilliance. You see brilliant young men and women that just had a rocky start to life but are here working their butts off to get somewhere. And that perspective guides my leadership, because I don't ever put anybody in a specific box and say that you're going to be this way because of your upbringing or who you are. No, we're all individuals. We're all God's creations, and we all have the potential to be the best that we can be if we're willing to put in the work. And that's how I try to serve and look at the world, because I believe we're all individuals and have an opportunity to make it if supported and given that chance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I applaud you. I thank God for you. You are a huge asset to the city of Grand Prairie, and I know you're going to be there for a long time. One day you probably will end up being mayor. But I know I'd like to hear your about how you was involved with these children. What type do I see a program possibly that the city of Grand Prairie probably would implement to help children of that with those problems, or maybe work with the schools in the Grand Prairie, a school district, to with children with those type problems that you have experienced on a personal note?
Yeah, that is very possible. And we can start from the school district side. That is very possible, to create programs to help disadvantaged and at-risk youth. The biggest issue that we're dealing with, and many of the educators and administrators in the different school districts will tell you, is that the state government is not picking up their own side of the bargain when it comes to funding the schools properly. This past legislative session that concluded back in May, the state legislature has not passed a school funding bill to provide support to the schools. I'll tell you this, I was on a call with a healthcare professional that works in GPISD, and she was letting me know that they're having to let go of many of their RNs and registered nurses and having to hire licensed vocational nurses because they can't afford to have registered nurses on every campus. And by state statute and state law, they only have to have one registered nurse within the school district and then have a LVN at the different campuses. And the LVNs only have to be there the whole day. They can be there for half of the day. And this is due to the fact that the state government is not providing the funding. So as we look at opportunities to help young men and women that are at risk, we got to start by just providing them with the basic resources. But we can't do that if the state government is not doing their part and helping these school districts. I know teachers, I know educators that are being shuffled in and out of different school districts because school districts can't afford to keep anybody. So that's where we're struggling. We're definitely struggling in a lot of our working class cities, working class communities, because the property tax valuations are not enough to keep the school district afloat. They need the support from the state ledge. Now, looking at the city of Grand Prairie side, what we can do to help these at-risk youth, we have various programs through our city that work to bring young men and women into the city, into the city government, see how the city government is run. Our diversity, equity, and inclusion director, Gerald Hodges, a brilliant, amazing young man that does really good work, he has a program called Unified Grand Prairie, where he seeks out young men and women, especially young men and women of color, brings them into the city, shows them the different departments. Every year, I've done it for 3 years now, since I've been on council, every year I go and I speak to them. I tell them about what I do on council. Other council members speak to them. These men and women are able to meet our judges, our municipal judges, our police department, police chief, fire chief, learn how the city operates to inspire them to truly take charge of their education and really pursue it, and then find a way to serve later, whether that's serving the city, serving in a different capacity, but just inspiring them to have the mindset of being a servant. So that's what we try to do here with programs like that. But we can definitely expand and do more. Just last weekend, I had a community picnic and school supplies drive, my third annual one, where we invited residents from all over the city and all different communities in the DFW to come and have fellowship with us, eat food, have a great time, enjoy music. But also, as you're coming, they brought school supplies and backpacks to give to students at a school in Grand Prairie that is economically disadvantaged. And we received hundreds of school supplies, hundreds of backpacks, and the students at that school that we donated it to, Larson Elementary, two-thirds of all the students in that school are going to get a free backpack, a brand-new free backpack, nice backpack to start off the school year this year, as well as school supplies for everyone and all the teachers. So that's what happens when you bring the city together, the communities together, to advance the issues of the youth.
And that's the first time that ever been done before?
That's the third year I've done
it.
So I did it last year when I did it, I gave all the supplies to GPISD. This time, the way I wanted to do it was to pick a specific school within the city of Grand Prairie and choose that school for the year. This idea came to me to, instead of just doing a school district, to do a specific school when I was doing a career day at Larson Elementary. And one of the educators that invited me to come and do the career day let me know that one-third of the students at Larson are homeless. And it's due to the fact that many of them live at a nearby motel, a budget suites. And if you don't have permanent housing, like an apartment or a single-family home, you're considered homeless. Because at any time something could happen and you'll lose your housing. So that inspired me to choose them this year to provide them with that support. And next year I'll find another school that has a lot of underserved students that need help filling that gap and just helping the parents, you know, and the teachers who have to pick up the slack whenever students aren't able to provide school supplies to start the school year.
Well, let me just insert something while you're talking about school. I agree with everything that you're doing. 9 years ago, my heart, I pulled out my heart to the governor and to people because I saw so many things happening with shooting in schools. And I advocated to Austin, I guess 10 years ago, for Clear Backpacks. I am a factory distributor.
Mm-hmm.
We have three plants that manufacture school, back to school backpacks. Also, we have, we manufacture the plastic totes for stadiums. I remember in 2014 when my niece then was at an event at the Cotton Bowl, and she was talking about how they had shooting in there and how these people brought guns into the fair. So, mm-hmm. But I had to go before the city council, and there was a councilman there by the name of Dwayne Carraway. And Dwayne is just like a brother to me, but we fought. He fought with me. I mean, well, he didn't fight with me. He fought for me and got this whole city council to endorse for the first time ever the Cotton Bowl to have clear totes to go into the Cotton Bowl. That was in 2014. And I have to say my hat's off to Dallas, I mean, being the first city to adopt those stadiums. I mean, having clear totes, especially at the fair. And we had a young man by the name of Pete Shinkles. At the time, he was with Dean Foods. He was the only business person who sent a written letter of endorsement at that time. By the grace of God, it's mandated now that Dallas have to have clear backpacks and clear totes for all the stadiums. So I'm very thankful to God for helping us to get this done, mandated for most of the schools. And if you ever need some help with some of the schools, call on me, because we may have some factors that we're willing to give, especially to the students who do not have homes, who you said they live in hotels and things like that. I don't know how many students you have there, but always let me know. I mean, you can always call them. Sometimes we have things that we can donate to students such as like that. But I'm very saddened to hear about things. But let me ask you something. Who is your state rep for Grand Prairie?
Yeah. So Grand Prairie is represented by about four or five different state reps. We have Chris Turner for District 101, Salman Bojani, District 92, mm-hmm. Yvonne Davis, Jessica Gonzalez, and Carl Sherman. So we have five. I think we may have a six, but we have five for sure that represent Grand Prairie on the state, in the state house, in the state senate. We have Royce West, and I'm blanking on the name for the second state senator, Nathan Johnson, Senator Johnson. Yeah. So we have two primary senators.
So you have two
senators
for Grand Prairie. I see.
Yeah.
I know you have Elba Garcia, your county commissioner. She's there for Grand Prairie, working on the county side. So
yeah.
On
the Tarrant County side, we have Elisa Simmons representing Grand Prairie on the Tarrant County side.
Elisa Simmons, okay. How did you get a lot of support from your state reps when you all was just asking for some of the programs to help the children in Grand Prairie?
Yeah, whenever I do these events annually, I get a lot of
mm-hmm.
support from state reps, especially Chris Turner, Carl Sherman, and many other state reps and leaders, other leaders on different levels of government that represent parts of Grand Prairie are always supportive, and I'm grateful for their support. Because it takes
mm-hmm.
it takes a community, and it takes the whole state, really, if you think about it, to help all of our children. So it's always a blessing
yeah.
to be able to call upon them for their support.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I know you. It was amazing. I told my friend Michelle Medillo with UTA that I wanted to interview you, and she told me that was a very great choice. So they all think very highly of you there at UTA. They tell me that you was cum laude. You graduated summa cum laude. I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
With a bachelor's degree in political science. Yeah, in 2021, I think it was.
Yes, ma'am.
And right after that, you ran. So I'm sure you had the whole campus behind you supporting you and helping you win that race. So that's exciting to hear. And it's just such an honor for you to come on to our podcast. I don't do a lot of podcasts. This is my first year ever doing this. But because
you're doing
of the
an
COVID,
amazing job, an amazing job, great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, and I'm a senior citizen, so I don't know how to do a lot of technical things with this, but my niece and nephew, they teach me a lot. And I want to thank my nephew, Miguel Booker, Destin, Florida, I'm sorry. He makes sure that my bill is paid for this podcast every month. And I just wanted to thank him for that. There's something else that I wanted to talk with you about. If a person wanted to actually bring a show, maybe a big concert to Grand Prairie, what is the steps one should take to do that?
Definitely,
and what venue would you suggest?
Yeah, definitely. I would always recommend our Texas Trust Credit Union Theater as a primary venue that can seat about 5,000 to 6,000 people for a major concert. And just getting in contact with the GM, I can connect y'all with the GM and the leadership there. They love bringing diverse acts and supporting diverse acts that want to come and perform in Grand Prairie. So that would be the number one I would recommend. If someone is trying to do maybe something on a smaller scale, in our Epic Central area, right next to all the restaurants and retail that are coming, that already here as well, and by our Epic Waters facility, which is one of our gems of Grand Prairie, Epic Waters facility, and the Epic Recreation Center. There's a jam box out there on grass right next to this beautiful, very beautiful water show that we have. You may have seen it on social media, but every night we have this water show. But right next to the water show, we have the jam box, and it's a very nice open space where someone could come and perform. We just got to connect you with the person that manages Epic Central, just to reserve it ahead of time and perform and, you know, just get their name out there, because every night 200 to 300 people, even during the week, are coming and watching that water show, eating at the restaurants over there in Epic Central, and just enjoying whenever it's not 1,000 degrees outside. Just enjoying the atmosphere. It's a very nice atmosphere, family-friendly atmosphere. So those are two locations I would definitely recommend off the bat, depending on what kind of show concert they're trying to bring.
Okay. I know I know we're going to have a lot of entertainment coming into Grand Prairie. A lot of good things is going to happen there. And I look forward to having you back on to my show, because you're a very interesting person, very interesting. And I like to know more about Grand Prairie. When I first met the mayor, he's no longer there of Grand Prairie. I think the whole city council was white at the time, was Anglo.
Yeah.
And they were
Charles
all very friendly. His name was, because I met him at the racetrack.
The
racetrack. I think he probably owned half of that, maybe. I don't know. But that's where I met him, at Lone Star Park at the time. But nevertheless, I wanted to thank you so very much for being my guest tonight. As I said before, this is new to me. This is my first year ever having a podcast. But what we do, my organization is Verna's Health Foundation, and what we do is try to instill in people as an incubator to help them for business. I help them with their business with GSA, SBA, and other big government agencies. I work very closely with the GAO, which is the General Accounting Office, that actually tells Congress how much money they're going to be spending. And I guess I was, for 20 years, I was a GSA vendor contractor who had a multiple award schedule for 20 years. Very well. We did very, very good. But because of, I want to be able to help other people. And I say this because I'm God has allowed me still be here today. I'm 74 years old this year, and I want to do something to leave with somebody. Something should happen to me of how I got where I am today. So I try to have free workshops to teach people how to do business, how to get certified with their business, how to make more money. The government has a lot of set aside. So in this podcast, what I do with this podcast, where I used to could have 10 people at Eastfield College or maybe 40 people who would come to my free workshops. Today, I can help people all over the world. And that's what I was telling GSA and SBA about. We can help people all over the world because this particular podcast is global. My cousin in Chicago, she hears me. My cousin in Kentucky, he follows me every Thursday because it's global. And when I talk to you, you are heard all over the world. Also, people can also go back to Blog Talk Radio, Furnas, Help, Metroplex Buzz, and look up previous links or dates. They may want to hear something from SBA, if they want to hear something from GSA, if they want to hear your interview. For instance, whoever missed this interview tonight can go back tomorrow and hear you, what we're saying tonight, because it's all recorded and it's kept on file. And I was just blessed to be able to do this because I didn't even know how to do this. But my nephew, you know, I'm the matriarch of my family today, and I have 21 nieces and nephews. But the young man down in Florida and the one here that works for American Airlines, they taught me, they said, don't keep going out trying to make yourself sick. Why don't you have a podcast? And I'm so thankful to my nieces and nephews. But to Seth and to Miguel, they are with me on every podcast in case something should happen to me. They can step in immediately and take over for me. So I'm very thankful to God for my family, for my nieces and nephews that God has blessed me with. So And that's the reason why I love you so much, young man, because see, you remind me so much of my family members, you know. And when I saw you, I think I hugged you so tight because Michelle told me who you was. I thought you was a beautiful young man. You had your little beard on, but you were such a humble, meek spirit. You know what I mean? Your spirit is such a meek, humble spirit. And I can see how you won the seat. And I know one day you're going to be mayor. You keep going. You keep trying. Because one day you're going to be the first black mayor of Grand Prairie. But thank you, Junior.
I appreciate you.
For coming on tonight. And I have another young man that I love so much. He helps me. I want you to stay on because you may want to ask him some questions because he's an entrepreneur. He's a builder. This young man I like his mind span. He likes to expand. So Junior, I want you to meet our second speaker for this evening. His name is Michael Caldwell. Have you ever heard of Michael Caldwell?
I've heard of him, definitely. I will have to I'll listen in through the link that you sent me.
Yes.
I'll listen in because I have to hop on for a meeting call in about 5 minutes at 8:40. I'll just turn it on my computer and listen in for sure. But yeah, I believe I have heard of Michael Caldwell.
Yes. Well, his name is Michael Caldwell, and he is the owner of Michael's of Las Colinas. He's also the owner of a new restaurant that's coming in the Arlington area called Memphis Born Grill. But he will probably be calling you later on to talk with you, I'm sure. But thank you so much for being my special guest tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very honored and blessed to be here. Thank you for your support. I am up for re-election next year, so whenever you need me, you call me. I'm here. Let's talk about Grand Prairie. Let's talk about the state of Texas, and let's talk about how to make our country a better place to live. So just keep me posted, and thank you again for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Okay. All right. Okay, Michael, are you there? Hello?
I'm here.
Well, hi, Michael Caldwell. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Vera. Thank you. And yourself?
Okay. Well, Michael, I want everybody to know that you are the Michael Caldwell, and I've known you for a long, long time. But did you hear you was on the air with the councilman. Did you hear the interview with him?
I heard everything that he was saying. Very well-spoken young man, very articulate, and he seems to know that what he's doing over there in Grand Prairie.
Uh-huh.
And I was the person that you was talking to earlier to tell you about what was going on over there in Grand Prairie.
Okay, yeah, and that's the reason why I was, asking some of those questions, because I wanted to know more, in case other people such as yourself or other people who may have things upcoming wanted to, because Grand Prairie is growing and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful place. So, but tell us a little bit about yourself, Michael. I know I've been to Michael's once, in Los Cleaners, and I know you get mad at me because I don't come all the time. But like I tell people all the time, I am a senior citizen now. I don't see good at night. So if I come out there, I got to have a driver to drive me back. But I love you. I love your venue there in Los Cleanas. I really do.
Thank you.
And, but tell us a little bit about what's going on with you. I know you are growing. I'm very proud of what you're doing. And your business mind. From hotels to restaurants, and I've known you when you was in the hotel business. Now you're in the restaurant business. So tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, being a builder, being a promoter, just an overall entrepreneur, I see myself as never actually ever working for anyone. I started when I was 7 years old with the Dallas Morning News throwing papers, and ever since then. Ever since then, I consider myself to be an entrepreneur, because if I didn't get up to go throw my paper out, I didn't make the money. And even if I was on a regular job, I figured that was my own type of business, because I treated the business like it was my own, even though it wasn't. So I always considered myself to be an entrepreneur. Some people tell me I put the E in entrepreneurship. Now, it hadn't always been easy, but we can talk about that later. But that's who I am. I'm just an you know, I was talking earlier, and I said that I consider myself a capitalist because I have 6 grandkids and 3 sons. So I'm trying to leave a legacy for them. And and recently, my youngest son, he and I just started the trucking business. And for us to be doing what we're doing in the last 2.5 months, it has been nothing but God that has put this together for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anything you want to ask me, feel free. Uh-huh.
Well, I know when I first met you, I met you with Mr. Cottrell and Isabel. We was invited to meet some business people out of St. Louis, I believe, some guys out of St. Louis who was on Marriott. They had these Marriott hotels. And you were running the Marriott here for them, and I met you there, and you were such a smart, very very classy type person in stature. You was dressed in mannerism that you really did. Mr. Cottrell even noticed you and wanted to help you with everything that we did. And at the time, I was working with the Black on Black Love, I believe, campaign for Proline and the other Black. So we go a long way back, Michael. And some of these guys that you know people all over the world who actually make things happen. So I just want to know, what can we expect next from you? You say you have a trucking company, but what else do we see coming from Michael Caldwell?
Yeah, let me go back to piggyback on what you just said about Mr. Coma Cottrell, and I miss him. God rest his soul. I miss him so much because at one time I had a mortgage company, and I went to Tacoma with a business plan, and I got turned down. But he ended up losing. He lost my business plan when I went to go pick it up. So he said, "Well, since I lost his business plan, then I guess I got to go ahead and help you out." Right then and there, Coma wrote me a check for $150,000 for me to get started with the business that I was doing at that particular time, and I would never ever forget it. And he also told me, he says, "No matter what you do, Michael," and I never have forgotten this. He said, "Know your business. Just know your business, because you never know when somebody's going to show up or don't show up." So every facet of entertainment and the restaurant, nightclub industry, entertainment, you can't lose me on it, because I've been there. I've experienced the losses. I've experienced the ups and the downs. So, but I can step in at almost any time to do any form of business that I have on the table right now, because I've made myself learn from the front door to the back door, and I mean everything, from doing the taxes to having a CPA, from you name it. You know, I familiarize myself with all of it, even though I pay people to do that, but I know how to do it.
I know. You know, I know when I saw you one day, and I'm not going to talk about where, when I saw you actually taking in, you was working in a campaign, and I knew then that you knew what you was doing, because you was making sure everything was accounted for. So I know what you're talking about. And Coma, Michael, Coma, now let me tell you, he never gave me that kind of money. Never.
Somebody else told me that. Well, he sure gave it to me, and I still have a copy of it to prove it.
Well, you know what he did, though, but let me share what he did do. When I, he always had time for me. He always, he and Isabel always had time for me. I went to 3 inaugurations with Mr. Cottrell and Isabel, from Ronald Reagan to Bush, and I met so many people through he and she and Isabel. But let me share something what that young man did when I went to him back in, I guess when I first got married, telling him about a dream. Remember, 30 years ago, I was telling him about a dream. And I wrote a book about this. In my book called My Power in 3, I wrote this in this book talking about a dream. Michael, I didn't have a business before I had that dream. When I went to Mr. Cottrell and I was telling him about my dream, how the Lord gave me the word graphics in a dream, and how I had been listening to TV ministry, and how the evangelist and the preacher would always talk about, you know, God will talk with you. He will show you things. And I said, well, okay, well, I just listened to the evangelist, and I heard exactly what he was saying. But when I had that dream, I never will forget, I asked my husband. We had been married about 2 or 3 months. And he was working for Lockheed, over there, LTV, I'm sorry. And he kind of laughed at me. He said, "Baby, I don't know what you're talking about." I said, what do graphics mean? He said, "I do not know." He said, "I got to get to work." So 1 week later, I was in, I never will forget this, I was in Sack and Save store, and that spirit spoke to me, and it's as plain as day, "This is graphics." And when I looked around, I saw nothing but cereal boxes. I took 3 boxes of cereal home with me to look at what was he talking about, and I heard that voice speak to me. And when I tell you, God is so real, and I'm so proud of what he has given me, because my business is named V. Vernon Milton's Graphics. I have to keep that name at all times, Vernon Milton's Graphics or VM Graphics, because that's the business that the Lord gave me. Man can't take it away. So, but when I went to Mr. Cottrell and I told him, I said, do you think the Lord wants me to do your boxes? Because this is all I saw was boxes. That's nothing but graphics. And so he looked at me really weird. He said, no, he did not tell you that you're going to do my boxes because I'm a million-dollar company and I can't afford for you, because he knew I didn't know nothing about what he was doing. But what he said to me, I will help you get started if you want to learn how to make boxes. And surely enough, he sent me to a box manufacturer to show me how to make die-cut boxes, how to start from a white corrugated box, piece of paper, sheet board, to a colorful graphic box. So, and he told me, just like he told you, to always pay my bills. He said, never. If you don't make no money yourself, you pay your bills. You pay your employees. So I started out with one manufacturing company. And when I went to this company called Specialty Container, I had Mr. Cottrell, Johnny Taylor, Jack Beckman at the time was over at Reunion Arena in the convention center. And I had Dr. Ronnie Shade. When Mr. Cottrell called those people into his office and he said, I want y'all to hear about Verna's dream, that man believed in me. He believed in my dream. He didn't make fun of me. And those four men came together and was going to, they put in $4 million. You hear me? $4 million. What they gave me to start up my business. They said, we're not going to give you this cash, but we will hold it as a line of credit for whoever wants to work with you. We're here to make sure they get their money and to make your product. So that's how I started my business, with those four people backing me, behind me. Coma is, and in my book I talk about how much I really did care for Mr. Cottrell, how much he taught me. So you and I have a bond there, because today I'm still in business. By the grace of God, I started out with one manufacturer. Today we have 35 that works for VM Graphic Packaging, and we do packaging. So I want to put that in there, Michael, but I'm not going to take anything from you tonight, because I'm giving you extra time to talk about you. I know you wonder me, Paulo, what is Vernon talking about? But I want to just put that in there because God is so good to me. And he's so good to me. I mean, I have to tell people this, because people don't know what I do. I don't even tell people what I do, because I don't sell to people. I sell to now the government. I sell my packaging. My packaging went from tote bags. We sell from a plastic bag to a roll-off container, waste quip roll-off containers. We sell those to the Army. So we do a lot of packaging, and I'm very thankful to God for helping me with this business. So, Michael, I know you have a trucking company, sweetie, and trucking company makes a lot of money. I don't know when you're going to, but if you ever get a government contract, you're going to make a lot of money for your grandchildren and for your children. So tell us about that business that you have now and what you're doing.
Well, my youngest son, Kyle, a couple of his friends had a trucking company, and he wanted to go off into the business, but his friends, I believe, they were renting their trucks. And when he came to me, I said, well, we're not going to rent no trucks. We're going to buy our trucks. So I went out with not having not one client at all. But I had faith that the Lord was going to open up this business for us. And I tell you, Verna, within a 2.5 month period of time, we have just one client, but that one client is keeping us very, very busy, and that's ATB. Mm-hmm. ATB is billing 22
stores. You don't have to tell nobody who your client is. You don't have to tell nobody who your client is. You don't want to jinx yourself. I mean, believe me, I know. I've been there, done that. You don't tell everybody everything, but what I'm saying, you have a client that's going to keep you busy from off of this whole state.
I'm in the sharing the wealth, so it doesn't matter who knows. But all I know is God opened up the door for my son and I, And we have taken off, and we're doing an excellent job from what they're telling us. In fact, we just got approved today, to have our own line. So we're in the market now of getting us we have box trucks right now. We have 3 box trucks, but we're about to get an 18-wheeler, and that's going to help us to make a little bit more revenue for the company. But I just wanted to go back to one thing that I did miss a few minutes ago about the hotel. Not that we can't come back to the trucking, but Mike Roberts, the guys out of St. Louis. In fact, they're listening tonight.
Mr. Roberts. Oh,
yeah,
are
he's
they?
Listening right now. Yeah, because I spoke with him earlier, and so he said he was going to be listening in. So he gave me the opportunity to run his hotel that he had here at that particular time. You know, it was 13 hotels that they own across the United States, and they had one here in Dallas, and it was the Marriott, and I ran that and turned everything around for them, and so the rest of that was history. Now, our plan is going back to the trucking company. We are right now it's just my son and I, and then I have a couple of my brothers that's masons that's going to step in and help us out. But how I ended up getting it was from one of my masons brothers. He'd been with the company for a long, long time, and we were talking, and I told him, I said that my son and I are going to go into this business. So I flew down to Houston, and my son and I and one of my other Mason friends, Mike Thibodeau, we flew down there, and we met the guy, and next thing you know, we've been in, and we've been rolling in for the last 2.5 months. So it's a lot of work, but we're getting it done. Mm-hmm. On top of
it's a lot of work, but it's worth it because, Michael, it's going to be so much going on if you have a truck, and I have a friend who had a trucking company who was everything Victoria's Secret brought in, and he had to take it to all of their stores. And he made a lot of money just delivering things to Victoria's Secret every day, their stock. Victoria's Secret is no longer existing, I believe, but he had that account. So there's so much to do with trucking.
Yeah.
When the high rail, the high-speed train, when they get ready with all of this construction, with this train system, they're going to need trucks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So do you have your certification with the state yet as well?
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't be able to do what we're doing if we didn't have all of our stuff in line, because this insurance on all these vehicles, all these trucks are very, very, very high. And we have everything that's required for us to be doing what we're doing. And let me just say this, Bernie. You know, God give us all. He give us all 86,400 seconds a day. So it depends on what you do with your 86,000. My son and I, we just decided to get up and do something with our 86,300 seconds that God give us every day. And that's to make this happen. I wouldn't be able to do none of this stuff if I didn't have a great staff at Michael's of Las Colinas, out there in at Memphis Live Bar and Grill, and the promotion company, as well as the construction company that we do. So my team, I had to give kudos to my general managers, Tamara Patterson, and then my VP of operations, Felicia Bryant, which she's been doing this stuff for a long time, and we've known each other for over 45 years, but they're the ones, the backbone to making a lot of that stuff happen over there at Michael's of Las Colinas. Now, I have to pay the bills. I pay the bills, but at the same time, they're the ones that's actually making it happen. But I got a good team at everything that we're doing. And I got a good CPA, you know, and I'm a great bookkeeper myself. But it takes all of that to make all this stuff happen.
Well, you know, I tell people to watch you. You and the young man by the city councilman, and I guess God put it on my heart to say this, just watch you two for the next 2 years. These things are going to happen for you. And I don't know what he got planned, but God is always up to something, always up to something good. And I just know that Michael, you have such a meek spirit. You're a sharp dresser. Oh my God! When you came up to me at the funeral, Dwayne Carroll, where I had to look at from your toe to your, I said, boy, you was just a sharp dresser, but you're such a meek person. You don't even act like you don't act like that. But you just such an humble person, and I just love you. I think I call you my little brother, but because. I mean, I like hugging and kissing on you. I tell my husband, I said, this is my brother. So don't even start with no step. But what I'm saying is that because you and Dwayne is like brothers to me. You know, I love you all so much. And I've been through I had to cuss Dwayne out, but not cussing me out, but tell him off sometimes.
Right.
He'll come
right
back. Are you through fussing? But what I'm saying, that's the love. That's love that I have for you all so much. And, Michael, let me ask you something. Your new place over there, and, I mean, you haven't told people about Memphis. I know it's – where is that going to be? Is it over there in Arlington or Grand Prairie?
No, it's in Arlington. It's been open a month now. It's right next door to Papa Do's, right off of 30. If you know what Papa Do's is, right? I mean, the Cowboy Stadium is right behind us, right off of 30. So it's between FedEx and Papa Do's.
Okay, you're going to give Papa Do's a lot of competition over there because your menu is nothing like Papa Do's menu. I'm looking at your menu right now.
Yeah, no, it's not. Well, we hope so.
Yeah, you're going to give them a lot of competition. So you can reserve a table there. You can...
Same thing you can do at Michael's or Las Colinas. Basically, the same thing you can do at Michael's.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it's called Memphis Live.
Memphis Live Bar and Grill.
Okay. So who taught you how to cook, though, Michael?
Yeah, Vern, can't nobody beat me cooking now. Nobody. I mean, I cook the best TV dinners in the world, so nobody could beat me.
Well, I heard that you was from Louisiana. Do you cook gumbo?
No, my mother. No, my mother taught all her kids how to cook, but I'm no chef or nothing like that. But she taught us how to take care of ourselves, you know, because she said one day, you're all going to see, you know, life ain't that easy. Like y'all thinking it is,
yeah.
But because my mother was my mother and my father, so she raised all four of us without a father in the household,
mm-hmm.
And but she's the cooker. In fact, I had lunch with her every Wednesday, she and my stepfather, and then my mother
mm-hmm.
still cooks every other Sunday, so she's the cooker, but again, I don't cook, I know how to cook, but I'm
mm-hmm.
not no chef, so. I know how to take care of myself.
Is your mother still alive today?
Yes, she is. I just got to having lunch with her yesterday. She and my stepfather.
Okay.
Yeah, we do it every Wednesday for the last 3 years. Yeah, for the last 3 years, we do what we call Catfish Wednesday. So I'm always over there. Yeah, so I go to Louisiana, bring her back some fish that we can't find around here, which is buffalo.
Uh-huh.
And so we love that. So, and I'm from Louisiana as well, so. I go down
mm-hmm.
there and bring us back enough fish to have.
Well, you know, Michael, I love Louisiana food too. I didn't know how to cook when I first got married. My first mother-in-law, I was married 20 years to Mr. Thomas, and he was from Wascom, right next door to Sweetport. And I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know how to do nothing. But his mother, she taught me everything I know about cooking, and I'm one of the best cooks, I think, in Dallas, Texas, because that lady could cook. They was from the Louisiana area, and she taught me how to pick greens, how to pick purple herb peas, how to make chicken and dumplings, and I don't think nobody can beat me cooking, Michael. I mean, because of her, how I grew up with her, and she told me, she said, if you're going to be married to my son, you're going to learn how to cook. And I did for my marriage for 20 years with him. And I've been married to my second husband 34 years. So Mr. Thomas is no longer. He's deceased. But I've been married.
I remember.
54 years of my life I've been married. Can you imagine that? And I thank God for it because tomorrow, what is the day, the 18th?
The
tomorrow
17th.
Is my anniversary. Well, tomorrow, the 19th, is my anniversary. We've been married 34 years. So I'm very thankful. You think that's something. I don't know how I did it, but at least they kept it. I guess they put up with me. So anyway, but Michael, did you say, okay, well,
because I know you.
They did, but if anybody have any type of questions they want to ask, because our switchboard is lit up here, Michael, something, and I don't know if anyone have any questions for you, but if you have questions that you want to ask me or Michael, all you have to do is hit the number 1, and I can take your call. But I see, we have callers all over this switchboard, and this switchboard only holds 50 to 75.
I'll be very transparent with everybody. Ask me whatever you want to ask me, because I can. It ain't always been easy.
I don't see nobody raising hitting. All you have to do is hit the number 1 number. Hit the number 1, and I will know that you want to come into the studio and ask a question. If you have no questions, this is being recorded, and you can always go back and listen and tell your friends to listen. And that's one of the reasons why our ratings is going up, because people, if they even go back and listen to this a week later or the next day, it also helps our ratings and things like that. But, Michael, I want to just thank you for being my guest. I know it's probably 9 o'clock maybe. I'm not even for sure. But we have this particular program, I made sure I had ample time to talk with you, because there's so much that you have done in Dallas and that you do. I mean, from Studio 67 back in...
Well, you went way back.
Yeah, but you started even Studio 67 in Oak Cliff. You worked there, and that's, I guess maybe you worked as a doorman or something like that, or a manager.
That's how I got started, believe it. Go ahead.
Oh, really? That's how you got started?
That's how I got started in the nightclub business. I was a doorman, believe it or not, and I did that, and then they opened up a management program, and I stepped into that management program and learned how all of the different processes of running a nightclub, and one thing led to another. And my first place, I don't know if you remember, was called Grand Central Station. I don't know if you remember that name or not, but
that was
the spot that I had. Yeah, that was my first spot that I had in downtown in the old West End, if you can remember the West End. But I had that spot down there. And from there I went on to you remember
New
the
York,
old RJ's by the lake? Huh?
You had it in New York, right?
That's what I was just about to say. It was prior to New York. It was called RJ's by the Lake. And then when Raymond Jones, I spoke with him last week. He was in town. And then that's how Charles Bush and I started the New York, New York. And from New York, New York, I went out to make my first Michaels of Arlington. Exactly where the Cowboys Stadium is sitting right to this day is where I had Michaels of Arlington. And then later on, I came back and opened up another Michaels of Arlington, and then I went to Michaels of Dallas, and then Michaels of Addison, B's on Greenville. Had pals down in Atlanta, Georgia, for a brief moment. So it's been ongoing in this entertainment business. Again, hadn't always been easy, but I'm still in it. I don't know how I got back in it, because I said I wasn't going to do this again. And I don't know how I ended up doing it, but I'm doing it again. And I've been in Michael's now, coming up on our 2-year anniversary, come October the 1st. And we have something big planned that we're in the making now to have our second year anniversary be very spectacular than it was last year.
Okay. Well, I know whatever you do, you're going to let me know so we can advertise for you on our podcast and try to get the word out to invite everybody out to it. And I just want to tell everybody to go by your new place there in Arlington, Memphis. Now, do it be open for lunchtime as well?
No. When I first started Michael's Los Colinas, I started out with the opening up for lunch, because I wanted to do something different for that particular area. But we just were not getting the support that I needed to cover, because I tell anybody, my rent back then went from $30,000 to $33,000 a month. So And so God has blessed me to be able to sustain to be there 2 years. But so when
you pay
when
how
that
much a month? $30,000? Is that
no,
Los Colinas?
$33,000 every month. And of course now it's half of that out there in Arlington. But the hours, we decided to open up like at 4 o'clock and, you know, until midnight in Arlington and as well as in Los Colinas. I had to change it because we wasn't getting support that I needed to sustain because I had a lot of competition. The area that I'm in, there's a lot of restaurants in that area. So we just said, okay, let me go back to what I know how to do. And I know how to do the nighttime stuff. And that's when we just cut back on our hours. And,
yeah.
And we don't consider ourselves a nightclub. We consider ourselves an entertainment venue because we just have we have great food with some great entertainment, as well as you can dance if you like. At the same time, you're sitting there eating your food or watching, listen to the band.
So what time do you open there? What time do you open
at 4 o'clock. Yeah, 4 o'clock at both of them.
I see, 4 p.m. So folks can go there for after when they get off of work, a happy hour.
Right.
Just before they, you know, That's nice. That's nice, Michael.
Well, thank you.
I'm very proud of you. So, well, I just want to know and tell people to watch Michael Caldwell because he's going to grow and you're going to get bigger and you're going to be probably a billionaire pretty soon. I say billionaire. I don't say millionaire. I beg your pardon?
Okay, well, I appreciate that because right now I'm just a minus thousandaire.
Okay, but no, you're gonna make it, Michael.
I'm not gonna claim that. I am a millionaire already in my mind, so I am a millionaire.
People say all the time, "Well, I know you have some money, Ms. Brown." I say, whatever you say, they don't even understand what I go through. But I say, "Well, whatever." I just let them think and say whatever they want. They're gonna assume anyway, so you don't worry about that.
Exactly.
You don't worry about that. The only thing I worry about is getting up in the morning and praising the Lord for just giving me another day. Michael, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for you, and I am so proud of you, so very, very proud of what you're doing and how you are molding your children to follow you and teaching your children how to work with you. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because that you have somebody to take on when you can't do it no more. So I'm very, very much proud of you. And tell your mom that I love you too, just like my son or my little brother. I didn't know your mother was still living, but that's a blessing. That's a blessing.
Oh yeah, yeah. And my stepfather, he's 95 years old and still driving.
Really.
95, but he don't look no 95.
Well, you know, that's good. Do they live in the Oak Cliff area? Where do they live, in Dallas or Fort Worth?
No, they live in Dallas. They live in Hamilton Park area.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's wonderful. That is so wonderful.
But I have three sons, Nicholas, Kyle, and Kevin. And my oldest son, Kevin, he's a Dallas police officer. He's been there for a while. My middle son, Nicholas, is a respiratory therapist. And then my son Kyle, he's a project manager for AT&T, but now he's joined me and us starting this what we call Caldwell Trucking. And so all three of them, you know, I got three boys, but the one who actually mimicked me is Kyle. So it's my youngest son.
Okay.
So you see him, you're seeing me.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I saw a picture of him with your trucking company. I looked it up. I saw something online. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to know that. Let me ask something. When do you think, are you going to ever get married again?
On the first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the first time I get around to it. The first time I get around to it.
I was thinking to say the 1st of September. Oh my goodness! Okay. Well, that's pretty cool, Michael. But I know you have so many young ladies who be trying to. Oh, my goodness. But I understand. I can understand.
I do. I didn't know that I had so many ladies doing that. And, if I do, I'm just showing everybody what they're not getting. That's all.
Yeah, well, you know, Michael, I guess because I've been married all my life, and that's all I know is marriage. And my parents, that was the same way. But it's a different world today. It's a different world. So you have to be careful. I don't think if I wasn't married, I don't think I would want to get married today neither. But somebody is going to. You're gonna meet the right person. I'm just gonna say that one day you're gonna meet the right person. So don't ever say never, never, because you will.
I never say never. But let me just tell you just right quick, Verna, how good God is. Because I lost everything. People don't know this, but I lost my marriage. I lost a relationship with two of my boys, but now God has gained all that back, and I had to go do a vacation. I'm being very transparent to let people know that God is real, because how I bounced back, it couldn't have been nobody but God. I got caught up in the mortgage industry and ended up having to go do a year, but the whole time it gave me time to open up to get to know me and to deal with me. And so I had a plan, and my plan was, when I came out, was to be able to do what I'm doing now. And I'm telling you, everything that I lost other than me getting married again, I have already been able to gain all that stuff back. So I know there's nobody but the grace of God. So I have to tell him every day how thankful I am. And I'm not afraid to say that I love the Lord, and I am truly, truly, truly blessed by his grace.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I guess that's the reason why I love you so much too, Michael, because I can sense that. I can sense how much you care for God and how you respect the Holy Spirit. And I tell people all the time, you know, even my son and my grandson, them, I say, you better be careful how you treat your friend, your lady friends and stuff, because you won't have to give an account for all of that.
Yeah.
And I try to teach them that, and God only blessed me with one child, or Lord have mercy, I don't think I could handle no more than that. But God only, you know, he knows how much we can bear. So, and I only have one grandson, only two. But
yeah.
I have 21 nieces and nephews and 47 great. And they're just like my children, too. I love them so much as well. So, but I pray that God keep you, Michael, and keep molding you and keep giving you the ideas and showing you the way. And you will be successful. You will. I've gone through a lot, too, but it's because of my health. As you get older, you're... Things start happening with your health. When 2020, this pandemic came around, and the government shut down. Everything shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't able to do any type business, nothing. A lady confronted me three times. She kept calling me, wanting to buy my business. I told her, no, that's all I had was my business. She said, I just want to buy your government contract. And I said, well, I haven't made no money with that. And so she said, but I still want it. That's what she wanted, was that GSA contract. And when the Lord spoke to me and told me look at what you're in. We're in a pandemic here. Nobody's buying nothing. And when he showed me what I needed to do, and I figured up every bill I had, from house note, car note, everything, insurance a year. I figured up everything. So I wondered. I said, I wonder, this is what I really need to. So when that lady called me back the third time, that Holy Spirit said, listen to this woman. Listen. And when I listened to her and told her, I said, well, I could take that offer. When she offered me, you know, so much money just part of my business, not the whole, but just half of the business. So what he told me, don't sell graphics. Graphics is what I gave you. Sell Berners Ventures. Okay, Berners Ventures was where the GSA contract was. So do you not know on June the 20th, 2020, I told my attorney, his name is Mark Romney, we had a hacker that was coming in. He said, Vernon, you called and told me to send this money to. I said, I didn't tell you to send that money to that bank. I don't even have that bank account. He said, yes, you did. He said, I got an email right here from you. So I had to get up and go to his office, and we saw the hacker trying to intercede my money. So Mr. his name is Mark Romney today. I mean, he's on my board. He's on the Vernon's Health Foundation board. I never will forget it. And he said, sweetie, we got a hacker here that's trying to, and it's because they know that you're trying to sell. How they knew that, I don't know. But God covered me. When I tell you the blood of Jesus is so real, he covered me. I got up and went down there, and he said, this money is going to come. So these people even paid for my attorney. I told him, I said, I don't have no money to pay for no attorney. They said, we'll pay for your attorney. Michael, it wasn't nothing but the grace of God that he sent those people to me to keep to get me completely out of debt, completely out of debt. When everybody else was losing their homes and everything, and there he was blessing me through a pandemic. Do you hear what I'm saying? So I had to write this book called The Power of Three. Because if it had not been for the Holy Spirit, I couldn't have made it, man. And it was on 3/20. It was on May the 20th, 2020. And I told Mr. Romney, I said, look at this date, 2020. And so he said, well, I said, that's the Trinity. I then told my family, I have to write this book because there's no way in the world I could have done this. God could have, God just like he, when he, I tell anybody, when if you don't have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, you need to get one because, I mean, you know, you can, I mean, if life is too precious not to know who he is. And I tell people, don't play with that. Don't play with him. This podcast to me is not just a podcast for the community to hear, but it's also for folks to hear my testimony and how much I love the Lord because I could not make it without him. And when I see you, when I see you, and I, even when I see Dwayne, y'all, you know, it brings tears to my eyes because I know what y'all been through, man. I know what you've been through, but I love y'all so much. And God has just put y'all in my life for a reason. We just all here for a reason to help each other too. In any kind of way we possibly can. So I'm very thankful to you, Michael, and I know I'm gonna get me a driver to come see you when I can over there in Memphis. Me and my husband see that good at night. And what's the better about it, I don't have no cataracts, it's just that those red lights when I'm driving kind of make things blare to me a little bit. But I'm gonna come and see you, your businesses, and enjoy your venues. So I'm very thankful. If you need me to help you in any way with the Department of, not DOD, I'm talking about tech stocks. I want you to get certified with tech stocks. Are you certified with tech stocks yet?
Yes.
Get that certification. And get the certification called SAM. It's www.sam.gov, sam.gov. Yeah. Go in there and get your certification. Make sure you're on the right website because it's free. Don't let nobody try to charge you anything. Get those two certifications because your business will grow. Your business is going to grow. You have children. They're going to be wanting to work with you. Your business will grow. There's so much there for small businesses set aside. Get a contract with the post office just to do from Oklahoma to Dallas.
Funny you said it. My son and I was just talking about the post office earlier today because one of his friends has a contract with the post office. So, and we plan on having one as well. So,
I mean, just to run from from Dallas to Houston. I mean, every day, all day. That's like, you ought to know. You, I mean, that's a lot of, that's a big contract.
I know. And we just, I mean, I was just in Houston yesterday morning. I had to be out at 8 o'clock yesterday morning. So, and that was from Hazlitt, Texas, which is on over here by the other side of Fort Worth. That's a big distribution center. So we took a load. Well, I took a load down there, and while I was down there, my son was down in Portland, which is, I guess, down there by Portland, Texas, which is down there by Corpus Christi. So we all over the place. So, and we plan on,
And you gonna, can you drive those trucks yourself? Do you know how to drive those trucks as well?
I just got to saying I was in Houston yesterday. Yes, I am driving. Ain't no shame in my game. I do whatever I got to take. My son,
okay,
now we're trying to build something. So, I have my little vest on.
Do you have your license for your 18 wheeler as well?
No. We're about to take our license for the 18 wheeler. We don't have to get that, just a Class C for the box trucks.
For the box trucks.
We're gonna take the test to be able to get our CDL. And we're gonna sit by the truck even before we can get our license. We know we can't drive it, but we're gonna have it, so once we get our license, we're ready to go.
Oh yeah, you're gonna enjoy that. And just driving that truck it's a total different ball game. Especially when you're going through those mountains up. My grandson drive box trucks.
I have the radio off. I'm going through them little towns, and it just be me and the Lord. going through those little bitty towns, you know, give you time to pray and talk to Him. But going back to the pandemic, believe it or not, Vern, I opened up Michael's of Las Colinas. People thought I was crazy, but I opened up Michael's of Las Colinas during the pandemic, and because I had caught COVID, and I was in the hospital for like 7 days. And that was at a time when nobody, your family couldn't even come see you. But once I came out of that, and then I got into building Michael's, and you've been out there before. It didn't look nothing the way it's looking now, but I actually had the faith that it was going to do okay. Again, like I said, we've been sustaining for the last 2 years now, coming up. Well, we've been there 2 years, but our two-year anniversary will be October the 1st. And if you don't mind, I'd like to give out all three of my websites so people can go check us out if you don't mind.
You can do that. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's Michael's, www.michaelsofloscolinas.com. And then there's Memphis Live, Bar and Grill, .com. And then the trucking is Caldwell Industries, trucking.com. That's all through my website. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're gonna get some calls. And especially, are you all still hiring at Memphis? Do you still need help there at Memphis?
Look, we're hiring at Memphis and at Michael's of Las Colinas.
Really?
Yeah. You know, that's the only thing about this type of industry. You know, it's a big turnover. You know, it's a big turnover. But, yeah, we're always hiring and looking for, you know, people that know how to serve, people with the right attitude, and people that wants to, it can be their little side gig if they want to make some extra money. Yes, we are always hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I walk in there, I see somebody new. I don't know. Season's hired somebody. She and Tamron and hired somebody. But we're always hiring, yes.
Yeah, and that attitude and personality makes the whole
all different
thing
in the world. That's right. Your attitude determines your altitude.
You know, I went to the Sam Cooke show. And I was shipping. Well, I went to the one at 2 o'clock. You came to the one at 6 o'clock, I think.
Right. Yeah.
I was there at 2 o'clock. So I got there pretty early, and my little friend, she was all over the place. She was, you know, working hard, Princella. So I said, "What do you want me to help you do?" So she told me, "Miss Brown, go to the table and sit down and help those people get their tickets, those VIP tickets." And I was so happy to do that because I met so many people, and they said, "Well, how are you?" And I was just greeting people, but I made them happy. I saw where they may come up to me and with an attitude, but before they left, they were smiling and they were grinning, and I had them laughing and putting their little VIP badge on their arm. I enjoyed that work. I enjoy working. at that table, you know. So I stayed there until the show. It was such a blessing to be able to just interact with different people. I hadn't done that in a long time, you know, because my business, I'm always talking. I don't see people. In other words, I don't work directly with people. But it was.
Yeah, I saw you and your husband.
You did? Well, I didn't see you, Michael. Why you didn't speak? Where
I
are
know
you?
You had a lot. You had a lot of people on your arm. I was out there in the lobby talking to Fred Walker at that time, and C.W. Whitaker. So we were standing there talking, and I saw you. But you had y'all was being dragged into, I guess, where the VIP area was. But I saw you.
Michael, I had so much fun, and Fred had on Fred had on this suit, and I had told Fred what to wear. He said, "Don't be telling me what to wear. Tell your own husband what to wear." So I told him. He had on all white.
Yeah, your husband,
but he looked sharp,
didn't
he? Mm-hmm. We took a lot of pictures together. Fred and I've been friends since I was about 20-some years old. We went to the same church together back when I was 19. People don't know when I first got married. Fred lived down the streets from where me and my husband lived, and we all went to church together there at the Greater South Central. So people don't know all of that because we go back so far, but I still remember my friends. And that's a good thing when you can have friends for that long. I mean, so many of my friends I've known for 35, 40 years, and like Pookie and Dwayne, when I was going through some changes, when I tell people all the time, they say, "Well, why did you like Dwayne Carraway?" Because Dwayne Carraway and Pookie used to always feed me when I didn't have no food before.
Yeah, I remember.
You remember all of that?
Yes, I do. Now, Dwayne and I have been knowing each other since I was 14 years old, so we go back a long way.
And Dwayne won't tell nobody how to make those greens. Gnaw that pepper. I've been trying to get him give me that pepper sauce with that recipe that he had with those greens. So little things like that. We just go back a long ways in being family. It's just a family affair, you know. And the Sam Cooke show was very good. I enjoyed that show. I met a lot of wonderful people in through Fred. Prince Ella and Mr. Ray Mack. They was partners with Fred. So wonderful. They worked very hard together. The show was very good. I enjoyed that show.
Yeah, and Fred called me that next day.
I enjoy anything when I go. I can get out this house and go somewhere in the daytime.
Yeah.
And that was a nice show.
Yeah.
So I just hate I didn't see you, but...
I saw you.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. And I was there. I was there. But Michael, we have 1 minute, and we've been on. I mean, really, through this, my board is still lit up, Michael. So I guess I don't hope nobody has gone to sleep on this board. Nobody has hit the number one. If you have any questions for me or Michael, just hit number one. This board is still full of people listening in, and I'm so thankful for that. And I know it's about, 9:30? Is it about 9:30?
Yeah.
9:28. Yeah, normally I only go 1 hour. I only go one hour, but this is 9:30. And so we got a very good listening audience tonight. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And hopefully you will tune in again next week. I want to say this, and I'm so proud of this. In the month of September, I'm going to bring back the government. When I say the government buyers, the government certification agencies with SBA. Are we going to take the whole month of September and share with people how to do business with the government, how to get your certification? Because there is so much coming down the tube, Michael. There is a lot fixing to happen. So there's opportunities. People don't know what to do. We can share with them how to do, how to get it done. And we will be on the podcast for every Thursday. We will have a different agency. And these agencies will tell everybody how to contact them, what they're there for. and how to do business and get the funds from the government. There's even grants out there that people can also. So that's going to be the month of September. I'm dedicating that for just business people who want to do business, veterans who want to do business, veterans who have ideas that they want to implement. We're going to talk about all of that during the month of September. So, Michael, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being my special guest tonight. And I pray that your business will grow and continue. You pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to see what God is fixing to do. We're going to watch you and see how God is fixing to bring you up and make you better. Okay?
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you having me on your show, and I look forward to coming back. Maybe next time we can have a call in where we just ask questions on entrepreneurship.
Well, I don't know why everybody didn't. I guess they just so tend to listen, which is good.
Yeah.
I appreciate them because I'm telling you, I got over 50 calls here, and they're still listening on the show. Oh, yeah, and that's
okay.
I never had this many this late at night. So I want to thank you because you've got to be a good, you have to be a good guest for people to want to listen in like this. So thank you, Michael, and may God bless you, sweetie. And we'll talk again.
Okay.
And hopefully you'll be my guest once again before the year is up. I hope so. Anyway.
All you got to do is call me. Just call me like
okay.
you did.
Okay, all right.
So. All right.
Keep on.